Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Are you a diehard Saints football fan that likes to have fun? Then join the most fun Saints fan community, Saints Happy Hour. We'll ship you our booze bundle welcome kit today with four original Saints swag items not available in stores. You'll also get access to our live chat room where you can make new friends and talk Saints all day. Plus, get our daily podcast and be in the know on all Saints news as it happens. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We might need more than 15 minutes to get all the audio and video correct. It's chaos every single week. As Dave likes to say, it's like the first time every time. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. How are we doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good. I'm drinking right now I'm in a condo in Destin with my wife. My kids are in Baton Rouge, so we've got a place to ourselves for a couple days as a couple, and I am drinking a Beta strawberry.
Hang on. Your kids are elsewhere. It's just you and the wife in a condo on the beach somewhere, and you're spending your time talking to the three of us.
That is correct.
Making sure. I just want to make sure audience understands.
I missed the podcast last week.
Yeah,
I
your dad didn't know.
I couldn't go.
Your
two
dad
weeks in
made
a
it. Nicer, Mr. Juge.
Jay.
To stop in. I'm drinking a sea salt and lime. It's a Texas beer shiner. It's very nice.
See, I was very embarrassed about drinking a strawberry beta.
You should be.
And I figured that Dave was gonna rip into me for that, but I was surprised that you kind of let it slide.
I haven't.
And then I see Ralph drink a lime and something. So I was like, oh, thank God, I'm off the hook.
Well, let's talk about
for Ralph.
Let's talk about Dave. Dave, everybody in the chat room and everybody listening, but Dave has developed a name dropper addiction.
Fetish. Yeah.
He'll be like, oh, I'm going to play golf. I'm going to play golf with Mike Haas. I'm going to play golf with Triplett. I'm going to play golf with the Pope. He stopped in. Maybe I could ask him if he can be on the show. Like, Dave, who did you play golf with this weekend that's semi-New Orleans famous?
This is being over-sensationalized for sure. First of all.
On this podcast, no.
Yeah, I know.
No.
First of all, I'm drinking a real beer. I'm drinking a Dogfish Head 120-minute IPA. This is from Delaware. I think they make this once or twice a year.
As if 1 minute wasn't enough.
It is an Imperial IPA, so you can actually age it. You can age it for years and years. This one is from September 2019, so it's almost a year old, but I bought it today. It was sitting on a shelf. And this comes in anywhere between – it doesn't say on the bottle because it's different each time, but it's always going to be in between 15 to 20% ABV, which is like more than like a bottle of wine. This is a little bit older. It's been aging, so it's actually kind of sweet, actually. It's got like a raisiny Andrew, you might actually, it might not be too hoppy for you at this point. It's aged nicely, like a fine wine.
Well, I don't know what's worse, you geeking out on IPAs like their Star Wars episodes,
yeah,
or the glasses that you drink them in.
Yeah. Shut up. Dave's one day going to come to us and be like, I'm drinking this beer out of the shoe.
Well, some of our listeners.
Looks like that. It looks.
Appreciate it.
Dave, it looks like that. It looks like that glass is ribbed for your pleasure.
It's ribbed for your pleasure, motherfucker. It's a little retro futuristic. I agree with you. But as some of our listeners have pointed out, it's like the official proper glassware to be drinking an IPA out of. Like,
it's
ripped for my pleasure, actually. It's ripped for the beer's pleasure, really.
It looks like something you either bought at an adult bookstore, or you got it at a ride on Disney, or you got it at a ride at Disney World. For like the Alien ride or
Harry Potter World. That's where I got it. Harry Potter World.
Yeah.
It's a goblet. It's a goblet of fire. But I did play golf this weekend again. So that's two weekends in a row. I played last weekend. I shot an 83 at City Park Bayou Oaks. It was the best round of my life. And then I played this weekend on vacation with some family friends who I love, and I shot an 82.
How'd you do on the back nine, though?
I shot a 39 on the back nine. That's the first time I've ever broken 40 on any nine.
All right, so 82 on the front nine, 39 on the back nine.
No. I shot 43 on the front nine. I played out of my mind. I've had the opportunity to play a lot of golf recently. I played a lot when I was a kid. I grew up on a golf course practically, and now that I've gotten to play again.
Were you better when you had hair?
I'm really good. I'm sorry, wait, what?
Were you better at golf when you had hair?
I was pretty good when I was like, 13, 14, when I really got bit by the bug and, played every day at our.
Dave is more aerodynamic now, though.
Yeah. I have
Dave can judge the wind better.
You know.
Hang on. Can I do my.
Go ahead.
So I dug this beer out of the back of my fridge.
It's a Four Loko.
It is an Elysian Dayglow IPA.
Elysian.
That's full.
Sorry.
Ralph. That's
they're
full
from.
Ralph.
I've been out of New Orleans for so long, I forgot how to say that.
They're from the
I'm gonna
Pacific.
Try and find out what the alcohol by volume is.
They're from the Pacific Northwest, I believe. They're brewery from the Pacific.
I gotta say, Juge, the whole thing is out of kilter because the Saints should be reporting for camp. We probably should have had like a rookie practice by now, but now they're not going to practice till like the middle of August. Like, we're out of steam, man. The Saints need to give us breaking news. They need to give us something because we are out of lists, we're out of rankings, we're out of camp position previews, we're out of everything. It's just going to be jokes and nonsense for most of this podcast for like the next 2 weeks. By the way, buy your booze bundle. It's amazing. You get a player card. They're shipping out August 1st. Do it. Sign up before August 1st. And my wife will get you the box out. So
I gotta say, the Discord channel, you're a patron, you got to get in the Discord channel. My favorite channel in there is that booze happy hour talk. Everyone is taking pictures of what they're drinking.
Yeah. I created that.
You did. And I'm just seeing amazing pictures of all these cans. Most of them are IPAs, which makes me want to puke. But in general, I've really enjoyed looking at the can design, seeing what everyone's drinking. And that's been a really fun, like, social thing during this virtual time period that we live in. So, I've really enjoyed it.
You heard it, everybody. Juge wants you to share photos of your cans, so go ahead and do that.
That's correct.
Send nudes.
I mean, not to be all Brett Favre about things, but that's what I'd like you to do.
You know, there was NFL news, big news actually, yesterday, which got me to thinking a little bit about the Saints, and something to discuss is the Jets traded Jamal Adams to Seattle for 2 first-round picks, and he's a safety, and I don't care if he's Ed Reed at his peak. Dave, I ain't giving up two first-round picks for a safety. I know Seattle, they're going to be decent. It might be lower first-round picks, but two first-round picks is two first-round picks. So it got me to thinking. Like,
right, but would you take two first-round picks?
Yeah. Who on the Saints roster, if a team offered you two first-round picks for, would you say no? I think that list is really freaking short. I mean, Michael Thomas, I wouldn't because they paid him. And that would be a definite no because you get the two first-round picks, but you got to replace Michael Thomas
He's the only one that would qualify for this answer. There's nobody else on the roster qualifies to be the answer here.
Well, you get it. Let's get into it. Andrew, do you think anybody
–
You
it's
leave
Michael Thomas or nobody.
You leave Thomas Morstead alone, damn it.
Right. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's Michael Thomas or it's no – you know, come on.
What about Sean Payton?
Oh God, no way. Way more than two first round picks. You gotta go fuck mini Ditka. You gotta go full Ditka if you want Peyton. I want another team's entire draft class in addition to my current draft class.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball will soon be in full swing, and there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to be in on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. Bet online, your online wagering experts. No, I don't want I want multiple number one picks. Kevin, is there anybody besides Michael Thomas if somebody came along and said, hey, you're his two firsts, you wouldn't do it? And you, of course, are the captain of trade down and acquiring more picks. So I want your perspective on this because you would trade anybody for picks, probably.
If it's Mike Thomas, here's the thing. I am all about acquiring picks. So two first rounds, it depends on which team is offering the two first rounds. If it's a team that I know is going to be shit, Or if it's a team that's shit and has a high first-round pick right off the bat, and I don't think the addition of Mike Thomas is going to make them an immediate playoff contender, I would consider it. If you told me, okay, we'll work out a package where it's like a 1 and a 3 this year and a 2 and a 6 the next year, some shit like that, you'd be more apt to get me to sign on to that than just saying two first-round picks. Give me multiple picks spread over more than 1 year, and I'm listening to anybody. I'm listening to anybody on anything. No one's safe.
Yeah, here's the thing I don't like about you saying two first-round picks or two first-round picks, Ralph.
Yeah.
When it's coming from Seattle, to me that's very different than two first-round picks from other teams. And on some level, you cannot assume the future. And, you know, Russell Wilson goes down, whatever. Guys get injured. The coronavirus hits the Seahawks, and they go 4-12. And all of a sudden, that first-round pick the Jets traded guy got from the Seahawks turns out to be amazing. But in general, when you have a defensive-minded coach like Pete Carroll, who has a long history of being pretty successful on that side of the ball, and you have a franchise quarterback like Russell Wilson – who, unless he gets injured, you can assume every year is going to give you elite quarterback play. We've done this dance. We know the floor is 7-9 when your defense is the worst in NFL history. When you have an elite quarterback, the floor is 7-9. They're not going to have a defense like that with Pete Carroll. So the floor for Seattle is probably more like 9-7. And so the thing is, like, two first round picks from Seattle, it's different from two first-round picks from the Bengals or the Dolphins or the Jets or, I mean, plenty of teams, but you get my point here.
Yeah.
And I just think the bottom line is, who are these two first-round picks coming from? Because if you're Seattle, you're probably giving a pick that's like somewhere between in any given year, as bad as 32 and as good as, I don't know, 24. Like, that's the range, 24 to 32. And that's those are the picks the Jets are going to get over the next 2 years. And
maybe,
you know, for
not.
Jamal,
I mean, they,
Adams,
Seattle that,
that's
could
still
fall.
That's still a good return. But my point here is, like, all first-round picks are not created equal. And when you get them from a good franchise like that, it's not as good as it seems.
Yeah, but still, if you've got a, if you have a fucking general manager who's worth a goddamn, you know, you could trade some of those first round picks, turn them into each one into 2 second round picks or whatever, and you know you're gonna get, you know, reasonably priced but still good quality players, second round, third round, like that's where good teams and franchises are built in those middle rounds. So I mean, like, if this trade the Jamal, you know, if it's just one small piece of you know, a bigger picture, then you know, it's potentially genius, but it's the Jets. I don't know whether that's actually,
well, Loomis, by the way, as much as we give Loomis shit for his trading up and just his insanity in the draft, he has never pulled a stunt like this. He, I mean, has he, Ralph? I can't think of a time.
No,
I can't think of a time
he held
Loomis has pulled a stunt like this.
He held.
And here's the thing, like, if you're going to pay out the nose to get a difference maker, you can do that in free agency. And that's the thing. Like, the Seahawks are still going to have to pay Jamal Adams.
That's
They're going to
the
have
thing.
To pay out the nose on top of the draft
well,
picks.
Well, here's the
and
thing
so
with Loomis.
My feeling here is just like, if you're going to pay out the nose, do it in free agency.
And well, Loomis did do that with Jairus Byrd.
He did. But I will say this. You know, Kevin, for all the grief, as you're the president of the trade down association, and I'm vice president, we've wanted it and we've begged for it. I will give credit Loomis for this. In 2017, Andrew, he held the fucking line when we were like, sign Malcolm Butler, do it, give, do the trade with New England, sign him, they need a corner fucking desperately. He held the line and didn't give in because he was like, the 2017 draft is amazing, I'm not giving you a top 100 pick for Malcolm Butler. And he held the line when, if he'd have done Malcolm Butler, like, we'd have been, if he'd have given him 32 back, or he'd have given him a second round pick or whatever, we'd have been like, that's cool, we need a corner. But he held the line. Now, I know it worked out for him because they got Lattimore.
I am shocked that Dave didn't just sing Hold the Line, Love Isn't Always on Time karaoke just now. It's like, what a missed opportunity, Dave. Jesus.
You're slipping.
I mean, that was
game.
Just, that was
I'm
a softball.
My game.
Here's a
I'm
fun
sorry.
Here's
I'm
a fun
sorry.
Question for the chat, for the chat room. No, by the chat room people, I forgot to
I'm
send
getting
out,
a beer.
I forgot to send out the tweet for the mailbag, the questions at the end of the show to play as we play Take It to the Top. So send your questions in the chat room. We'll use those as well as the tweet that I just
sent. Oh, yeah.
Seen.
Come
so
on.
We need
a lot of questions.
We need a lot
that
of questions
we can,
so we can play
that way
the whole
we can
song.
Keep, we can, yeah, we can keep playing the song over and over on a loop.
But here's my
We're
question.
We're going to take it to the top.
Here's my question. Ramchek, the Saints haven't paid him yet. If a team came to the Saints – and they said, we'll give you 2 firsts for Ramchek. And look, you say, hey, it's ridiculous. No team would do that. The Texans did it last year for Laremy Tunsil. So a team could be fucking desperate, and
okay,
they could do it.
The Texans – oh, wow, okay. Andrew's stepping up to Patron. He's showing us he's graduating to Patron.
He's a big boy now.
Yeah, the Texans did do that, but the Texans are also the Texans.
Stupid. They're
and,
stupid.
You know, they're not necessarily the standard bearers in the NFL. So I do not think somebody would give up 2 firsts for Ramchek. If they would, yes. And against Andrew's point,
Dave, we got breaking news. We got breaking news. Andrew's father is reporting from his house that his dog is still alive and has chewed up my gym shorts. And I went to Whole Foods.
Can I get – now, wait a minute. Now, that's not the full report. I need a I need an update on the IPA refrigerator situation. I need to know how heavily stocked Andrew's home refrigerator is with gross, disgusting IPAs greeting him upon his arrival.
Oh, so you admit then. You do admit that they are gross and disgusting.
To you they are. And
well,
that's
and apparently
most.
Andrew's dog is shitting all over your house. So that, I mean, Mr. Juge, give us the details on that. Like, how many rooms has the dog taken a dump in? Are you going to leave it there? Are you going to put a little, like, a bounty over it so it'll be like a tent when Andrew gets back?
Like a chalk outline? Like
yeah,
a
like a chalk outline of it.
I kind of have a love-hate relationship with my dog, so if my dad were to feed my dog a little bit of IPA, I might be okay with that.
I got to say, so far in this podcast, Kevin.
They won't even bring him to camp.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin, earmuffs.
He's the star.
Animal cruelty, Kevin, earmuffs.
No, I was going to say, Andrew's dog's the star of the day for the podcast so far.
All right, what do you do?
Shit, other podcasts won't bring him on for the Saints happy hour. He's the star of the day.
Stowers. Stowers. Shit, Stowers.
It makes me almost want to vomit.
Oh God! Your dad says he got a full case of IPAs. I want to know what kind of IPAs.
But who's a Saints player that
would drink IPAs?
would drink IPAs. Then you'd be like, trade their ass for 2/7. I'm done with you. You're dead to me. But who's a Saints player, and I'll start so you guys can think about it, that you would trade for 2 first-round picks. For this year, but you would really, really, you'd feel like you had to do it, but you would really feel bad about it. And I'm going to tell you, I would do it for Ramczyk. And I know the Saints are trying to win a Super Bowl, but to me, if you could get 2 first-round picks before you pay him, I think you'd have to do it, especially if you got it from a team that you, like Kevin said and Andrew said, felt like they were going to be bad, and you felt like you were probably going to get at least like in the 10 to 14 range for it. I would do it.
Yeah, can't be the Patriots. And I know Tom Brady's gone, but I don't want Patriots picks. I just don't.
I mean, but like,
it's got to be a different team.
Like if Cleveland, who was desperate for offensive linemen, if they came wanting Ramczyk, and they offered me 2 number ones, I would do it. If the Raiders,
Cleveland has talent though. Cleveland's trending up.
What about the Raiders? Like if the Raiders said they wanted Ramczyk for 2 firsts, I mean, I would hate it, but I feel like I'd have to do it. Like it's too good a deal. Because you're going to have to pay Ramczyk $100 million next year. I mean, you have.
Yeah,
to.
I mean the Raiders are in a division with KC. So on some level, you feel like there's a barrier there. They can't get first place in the division. So best case, if they get past the Chargers, and who else is in that division? God, what's wrong with me?
The Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos, and Kansas City.
Broncos, yeah.
Florida sun is melting your
brain. I don't
know.
I might want the Broncos 2 firsts, actually. Yeah, it depends on the team. Again, it's kind of like Seattle. Anyway, the answer to your question for me is probably Cam Jordan. If you offer me thing is, giving up Cam Jordan right now would wreck the Saints' defensive line. I don't know that I'd be down for that.
Who's going to rush the passer without Cam Jordan?
Yeah.
Sign Clowney,
nobody.
Trade Cam Jordan.
You have no defensive line presence.
Would you do it? Okay, so I don't know that I pull the trigger with Cam Jordan. Would you do it for DeMario Davis or Lattimore? Either of those. Both of them.
Yeah, I would.
Man,
I would.
Yeah, I think DeMario Davis is the one where if you offered me 2 firsts, I would go ahead and do it, and it would make me absolutely sick to my stomach.
I would do it.
I mean, he's over 30.
Yeah, he's got like 2-3 years left.
And but I wouldn't. But that's the one that just.
And I wouldn't have the heart to tell him in person. I wouldn't have the heart to tell him in person that we traded to him to a shitty, shitty team.
You
send the groundskeeper.
You tell him you're cutting him so he has a chance to pick his own team, and then you trade him, and then you get besmirched by his wife on social media.
You get the
full Derek Sproles experience there.
So. Dave, Kevin, is there anybody that if they came along and somebody offered you 2 firsts, you'd do it, but you'd hate it? No? I need the Jeopardy theme. Y'all are stumped.
Is Dave muted? Yeah, Dave's muted himself.
Yes. I'm not muted. I was going to give you an opportunity to answer, Kevin.
Well, I already said with Michael Thomas, I need multiple picks spread out.
Would you rather 4 seconds or 2 firsts, Kevin?
Give me the 4 seconds.
That was a dumb question by me. It really was.
Didn't even hesitate on that.
I know.
That is f***ing stupid. Wake up.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The Saints gave up 2 firsts for Davenport, and if you offered me 2 firsts for Davenport right now, you could be the freaking Chiefs, and I would take it.
Right.
Not high on the Davenport breakout year. Davenport, he's the defensive end of the future, and he always will be. He's always a year away from the breakout season. Here's an interesting thing that I got to thinking about.
I'm watching golf on TV right now. I'm on the golf channel here.
Man,
and I'm
you
noticing...
guys thought I was annoying about tennis, man. That's just Dave is now.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be noticing... fun.
Well, it's live. I mean, it's not live. It was played earlier today, but I mean, like, it's real. It's a real sport that's actually happening. I was watching the Mets game earlier today, but
golf is not a sport. Golf is not a sport.
Okay, well, it is. But anyway, there's a lot of hearing aid commercials, like a lot of like hearing assistance
and metal
commercials. So what does that say about me and the people that are watching the Golf Channel here?
You're old and deaf. That's what it's
like. I can't hear you. What?
What? What?
What?
You've already lost your hair, Dave. Your hearing is next.
Multiple different brands and companies of hearing devices.
What about reverse mortgages? Are you seeing Tom Selleck hawk a reverse mortgage? Hi, I'm that actor from Hunt for Red October. I became a senator in Tennessee. I'm here to tell you about reverse mortgages.
Oh, poor Fred Thompson.
Dave, when you see the I'm falling and I can't get up commercial, that's when it's time to change the channel.
Oh, no. They retired her. Instead, it's the walk-in tub.
Oh, right, right.
By the way, the guy that won this tournament today is a Tulane alum. He played for Tulane for 2 years until Hurricane Katrina, apparently.
Oh, good.
All that's right. Enough.
Sounds like hella competition.
Michael Thompson.
That's enough Tulane talk.
Well, he's not playing against an 80-year-old woman, so I would say that's saying something. No? No? So that's not saying something?
50.
Are you in the top 100 in Charlottesville, Juge?
Yeah, let's look up my ranking actually.
So
that should be a segment on the show. Where does Juge rank?
It's about to be right now, Kevin. Thank you. Yeah.
So if you look at USDA...
People in the chat room nominate theme music. So here, while Juge looks up his ranking, Dave,
I vote Benny Hill theme music.
Here's my question. With COVID, look, the players and the owners have worked out all the agreement. They have one last thing to do, and they think they've got it locked in where the salary cap is going to go from $198 million in 2021 to $160 million, which was originally going to be the salary floor, and they're going to, like, smooth out all the losses from this year over, like, a 5-6 year period because, obviously, they're 30% less revenue, so you got the salary cap goes down. But my question is, we always joke that Loomis Math, he can do whatever the fuck he wants, but $30 to $40 million in cap space, Dave, less. That's a lot of different reduced cap space room.
Isn't every team in that same situation?
Team doesn't have the 2017 draft coming up to get paid like the Saints.
No, but yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, but and I guess that part of it is unfortunate. But I mean, everybody's going to have a less in cap, so everybody's going to have to deal with it in their own way. Everybody may have their own problems. You know, even if they didn't draft well in 2017, they could still potentially have a lot of contracts coming up in that, you know, this year. Yeah.
31
what?
Wow. Out of what?
I'm 31 in Charlottesville out of 326 men.
In right. Charlottesville, just Charlottesville, Virginia.
I mean, I've been top 10 on this list before, but I've gotten a little older.
Well, we're all getting older.
They won't even bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Yeah. But I haven't had a chance to get my ranking points up because fucking COVID, you know?
That is idiotic.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball will soon be in full swing, and there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to be in on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. Bet Online, your online wagering experts. Here's my other question, Kevin, and with the I was thinking of this. With the Rona, right? Dave mentioned the salary cap and you know they may have hard times, but the other thing that I thought about was with the Rona, and that they have this long list of like where players, they can't go to clubs, they can't go out, they can't do this, they can't do that. I was thinking, how many teams like the Saints are going to use that as an excuse to just shut the media completely fucking out like they've dreamed of doing their entire lives? Like,
we are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
This is Bill Belichick and Sean Payton's dream. They just get to shut the media completely out and use the Rona as an excuse. How many weeks are we going to be before the media is complaining that access has been completely turned off?
The media is going to complain anyway, but I can absolutely see, here's the thing. I can see the league, the legal mandate, Zoom or Skype news conferences or some horse shit like that, and it'll be recorded and broadcast out like that. Or the reporters will have to send questions in advance, so there won't be follow-ups. They'll send questions in advance. The coaches will answer them. They'll be recorded, and then the news will be posted and put out, so that way everybody has access to it. But that's about it. They'll give the media something. It just won't be enough. But of course, the media will take it because they're happy lapdogs to carry the to carry water for the league, and they'll get, you know, ESPN, Fox. They'll still get the exclusive sit downs and the one on ones and what have you, but the local guys, the local guys will get less and less. It won't be, you know, a harsh break. It'll just be a gradual reduction in their access, and they won't complain. They won't complain because, oh no, if you complain, you might lose access permanently. That's the cudgel that the NFL holds over the media, over local media. It just is.
Juge, I feel like by like week five, the media, excluding Underhill, who's just a magician and works his ass off, besides him, the rest of the media, they're going to have the same amount of access as us by like week five. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the media will complain after about 12 hours, honestly. I mean, the media complains about the length of games, right? They're like, I can't turn in my article because...
The temperature of the press box.
Yeah, it's like, when has football media not complained about anything? And things are so much worse now with COVID. Like, hello, it's only going to get worse, right?
Well, here's the thing. All right, so somebody said, Kevin just said, horseshit, I dropped the ball. I hit the wrong button. Here's the thing, too, with the Rona, right, is...
Please just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Please.
Horseshit ball, Kieran. I know that. Horseshit.
Thank you.
So here's another thing that I was thinking about. Look, they've canceled all the preseason games, and I know... People on Twitter like to pretend that they don't like the preseason games. But I'm here to tell you I like the preseason games. We watch them. They get great ratings.
Right. I've got mixed feelings on it. I mean, I like watching the preseason games. I like, this preseason, this was the preseason we were going to get to see Jameis Winston quarterback the New Orleans Saints, okay? Let's not fucking forget that. Like, this is going to be the one chance where you were going to get to see Jameis Winston play quarterback for the black and gold New Orleans Saints, okay? So we're not getting that now.
Maybe ever.
Correct. You're not going to see that. So first of all, that's disappointing. But now, as a season ticket holder, somebody who
going to the games is awful.
Somebody who pays a lot of money for his season. I'm about to get like $800 refund for two games. Like, I'm about to get $800 back.
Are you counting like your
for games that I wasn't even going to go to?
Are you counting like
only
the beer
watch on television
and the parking?
Are you counting like parking and investment and
Dave, he's Mr. Fancy Pantsy. Man, I know why you said you were slumming it and come up and sit with my mom.
It's not 800. No.
Okay. Yes, they are.
That
sounds
about right.
No. Preseason tickets are less now. You know, it's not amortized. Every game's not the same anymore. You know
that. I know that. Yeah, but it's still like 180. So that's like
per ticket?
Yes. So that's like 360. All right, hold on. You guys talk. I'm gonna go see
Dave
if I can find
go look at your tickets.
I'm gonna
That's
go see
not
if I can find an old preseason. Wait, hold on. Maybe
but
I can log into my.
Here's the question.
That's not accurate.
That I was getting to.
It's fucking accurate. Okay, it's actually probably gonna wind up being more. It's probably going to wind up, I'm like lowballing it, and it's probably going to wind up being more.
I don't take into account shit. All I yourselves. Take into account is they kicked our ass today. That's what I take the into
radical,
account.
The radical Reconstruction period between 1865 and 1885 was neither radical nor reconstructive. Talk amongst yourselves. Talk amongst
here, Dave goes sensationalizing and name dropping again.
Here's my other question that I wanted to get to. Kevin and Andrew, is with no preseason game and no fans at practice to send us pictures of Emmanuel Butler making the catch against the air, is Saints Twitter going to be like 1,000 times less fun in August because we don't have preseason games to talk about? We don't have practice to get excited about Joe Bosci making a sack. Like, I think Saints Twitter is going to be less fun than it's ever been for the preseason, and it makes me sad.
Less fun for the geeks.
Jameis Winston
could have
thrown. We're not going to get to see Jameis Winston throw five receptions in a game.
Like, I gotta have video to goof on, Andrew.
I don't know, man. I feel like this is worse for like the X's and O's. Like, Emmanuel Butler might not make the team. He might not make it through waivers. Oh my God. You know, like
how the fuck are they supposed to properly evaluate little Jordan Humphrey? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, they're not going to evaluate.
Well, it's a good thing he won't be your adopted UDFA son this year.
I know.
Although, right. If you've been watching, you know, teams have been going down from 90 to 80, and the Saints are not there yet. But I was watching this today. There's a couple teams, Arizona, and there was another team, and they went from 90 to 80. And most of the guys cut were UDFAs. So
here's my
really,
question.
Really bad year to be a UDFA.
Here's my question for the chat room. Patrons, interject. If you're not a patron, become a patron, and then your opinion will matter on this. If little Jordan gets cut when they go down from 90 to 80 and they make it official, do me and Dave need to have a breaking news podcast and pour one out for little Jordan if they cut him?
Obviously.
Yeah.
No
patrons,
doubt.
You get that kind of analysis from us. We're right on top of the ball. But are y'all all in agreement with Andrew that I'm just being an old man fuddy-duddy, that training camp, it'll still be as fun as it ever was on Twitter, even though we don't have games and we won't be able to see Vine. Well, they don't have Vine anymore, but Twitter videos of players making random plays in practice because there'll be no access. Are y'all all in agreement that I'm just being a fuddy-duddy what's the Saturday Night Live skit? The Debbie Downer. That it's going to be as fun as ever. Yeah. So,
preseason sucks. It sucks.
I miss it.
It sucks.
For the most part, it does suck. I'm looking. It doesn't say how much each game is worth when I log in online.
Yeah. Dave's,
which is a shame.
Dave is just pulling numbers out of the sky.
No, I am not.
Take a dump on look, Andrew. I'm here for you.
Dave,
I'm here
Dave
for you
just
to take
wants
a dump on
everyone
Andrew.
To know
I'm
how
for.
Expensive his season tickets
no.
are.
Oh, my God. First of all, I'm telling you right now, again, my seats are being tarped over by the NFL, and I have not heard one word from anybody in the league office. I mean, anybody in the ticketing, which makes me believe like that they know that there's not going to be anybody going to the games, and they're not even going to just bother even calling people with tarped over seats and
what are you,
trying to rehome
what
them.
Do you want when
so
you when you
I,
see
I really and truly I really don't think I do not think fans are going to be allowed at games at all this season. I haven't heard one word from the ticket office about my seats that don't exist anymore.
Do you want, when you see your seat tarped over, Dave, and you're sad because you're not there, and you're like, "There's my seat, it's tarped over."
I'm gonna get a 40 of I'm gonna get some Old English 800.
What sort of ad do you want there? Do you want like Manscaped?
Blue Chew.
Do you want it to be really risque, like OnlyFans? Wink, wink. Do you want it to be on the tarp for the ad?
Probably some dog shit IPA.
I want it to be here. Yeah, this is a good answer. So get me in my good graces. I want it to be Crescent Crown Distributing, distributing all the fine beer products all throughout southern Louisiana.
Yeah. Jed Pendergrass seems very excited about the OE reference. Jed, I expect you to be in the Discord channel posting pictures of your high gravity old English 40. So get on that.
Was that a New York thing? Like we used to go to, so we used to have this one place.
No,
it was like a red. It was like
the answer is no.
It was why like a barn. Used to have like these drive-through barns, you know, where you drive around the front. Well, we had this one, and you used to drive, and you could get 40s or 22s. You get a 40 of Old English, or
Dave, have you ever heard of Edward 40 Hands?
No, we were like 15 years old. We used to drive.
Kevin,
drive.
You've never heard of Edward 40 Hands?
No, I've heard of Edward Scissorhands.
Okay, well, Edward 40 Hands is where you duct tape two 40s in each hand, and you can't take them off until you're done drinking both.
All right, I have heard of that.
Okay, so that's like the oldest fraternity move in history, which every fraternity in America does. And it's...
Is that like the elephant walk? Have you heard of it? Did you do the elephant walk?
Soggy biscuit.
No comment.
Yeah. Saints happy hour turned into frat talk.
I wasn't even in a shirt.
Well, anyway, old English is the go-to. I mean, Steel Reserve is quality. If you want to go lighter, Ice House is a nice choice.
But Snow those Creek, are Barry.
You don't want to go the what's the Cobra one? Is it just Cobra?
Yeah,
maybe.
That one is
Boone's. Boone's
you don't
Farm.
Want the Cobra.
That was my go-to in college. Boone's Ooh, Farm. Snow Creek Barry. But here's my question, Kevin. Since the year is 2020, why hasn't Mad Dog taken all their advertising budget and just plastered our TVs with the year of the Mad Dog, like 2020, just like all the flavors?
You talking about the wine, the fortified wine?
Yeah, Mad Dog 2020. It'd be like, it's a great advertising campaign. And hey, if they want to sponsor this podcast, 32,000 downloads
Ooh,
a month.
Yeah, Jed, good call. Colt 45 was another good 40.
Yeah,
if the 40 don't get you, the 5 will.
Yeah.
So hey, before we get to the Twitter questions, if we have any, so we can play the Take It to the Top song, what's the number one sign of a bad home security system? A home security system that's so complicated, you never use it. This is exactly the type of security system Simply Safe has spent a decade fighting against. They believe that simple is safer, and it's exactly why Simply Safe is the home security system for right now, when feeling safe at home has never been more important. Simply Safe was designed to be easy to use while protecting your home 24/7. Order online with a click of a button. Open the box, place the sensors, plug it in, and your home is protected around the clock. No technician or salesperson has to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a 2-year contract. Simply Safe was named Best Overall Home Security of 2020 by U.S. News & World Report, and their 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at 50 cents a day. Head to simplysafe.com/team and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/team to make sure they know that our show sent you. Kevin had a story about Al Scaramuzza, the king of Seafood City, and it gives me a reason to say he's got the Rona. Al, you got to beat the Rona because Al Scaramuzza from Seafood City is a New Orleans icon. One, we wanted to say that to him and send him thoughts and prayers. For anybody that deals with the Rona, you know it's a nightmare. But it also gave me an excuse to rip this off of YouTube so I could play it. This is for all you New Orleans old heads.
Hi, Dr. Scaramuzza. I examined the crawfish. Oh, you all right? Oh, you nice. Oh, look at this. Oh, you nice. Oh, this cardiac arrest. No good. Brush your teeth.
Seafood City is a very pretty town of Orleans, St. Bernard.
Seafood City, 1826.
Six North Broad.
I mean, so Kevin, tell the story. But mainly your story doesn't matter. I just wanted to play that. I'll probably play it again on the way out. But proceed.
Not a problem.
We're just going to edit out your story, actually.
Yeah, that's fine. Cut it in post. So for starters, that is the second best New Orleans-based tune in a commercial behind Rosenberg. So
1825 Tulane.
Tulane, right. Tulane. All right. So Scrimuza, I think after he retired, or
by the way, I may have a disagreement with that, but go ahead, and then we'll talk about that.
All right. So after Scrimuza like retired or stepped down or took fewer reduced his workload at Seafood City, he started to coach local baseball at Johnny Bright. And who ended up on his team? This guy. Now, mind you, I am a perennial, you know, center left fielder. You know, you play in the league where they put four kids in the outfield because they know nobody's good enough to cover one whole section of the outfield by themselves. And I bugged Al Scrimuza from the beginning of the season. Mind you, I was like 12 or 13 at the time, and I'm talking to like some 60, 70-year-old man, bothering this man.
New Orleans icon.
He would arrive to the time the game would end. Coach, you got to let me pitch. You got to let me pitch. I've been working on pitching. I want to pitch. I can get it. I can get it done.
I know how this ends.
There were quality kids on this team that could throw really well. From the mound, that probably could have gone on to do something in high school. I don't know. But they were good.
You never pitched, did you?
You got to put me in. You got to put me in. The team I was on was shit. We finished, if there were six teams, we were fifth or sixth. If it was eight teams, we were seventh or eighth. It was that bad. Later in the season, I can't remember if we were barely winning or barely losing. Scrimuza finally had enough of 13, 12-year-old me bugging the shit out of him and said, "Held.
Haven't we all been there?"
I'm pretty sure this is the plot to Rudy.
You go, no, it's not. Nobody spoke up on my behalf, Dave, I assure you.
I'm pretty sure this is Rudy.
No, anybody laying their jerseys on his desk for me. So he's like, "All right, hell, you gonna pitch the next inning? I'm like, "All right, great." Brings me in, yeah. Actually starts the inning. I'm in the outfield. I'm like, "Great, the coach just fucked me over again." First out gets reported. He waves the kid, the pitcher out, waves me in from the outfield.
3 11 year olds hit by pitch later, and that was the end of his career.
Wrong. I take no pitching practice. None. I require no warm-up. And let me tell you.
This is going to be his Al Bundy story. he scored four touchdowns
in a high school football.
Let me tell you. I struck out the first batter.
No way.
I struck out the first batter. You want to know why?
On three pitches?
Throwing slower than anyone else in recorded history. Get the timing of the pitch right. I'd be behind the ball behind the back, like, you know, "Oh, am I going to do a three finger, a two finger? Am I going to go a curve?" What? It didn't fucking matter how the hell I was holding the ball. It was slow as shit.
You're like Al Leiter.
Going across the plate. It might have broke the length of this can. That was it. Maybe. And motherfuckers couldn't hit it because they were too impatient. They wanted to swing immediately.
I saw that meatball just coming down the middle.
So wait, did you strike him out on three pitches?
I don't remember how many. It wasn't – at no point was I in trouble with walking the guy. Like, he struck out before there was any doubt. It was four or five pitches maybe. There was no chance. He was going
to walk. So we got two outs and you struck out the guy. What's next?
Next guy comes up, swing and miss.
No way.
He finally times it and he barely clips it. Pulls right back to me. First base. I retire the side. I run into the dugout like I just clinched game 7 of the fucking NLDS.
Right, like your Geraldo.
The team is like, yeah, we go bat. Okay, great, whatever. I'm not batting. I have no chance of batting. Next inning starts. I'm like, all right, give me the ball, coach. I'm ready to take him out again. Nope. Hell, go back to the outfield. What are you doing? We got him on the ropes. Scrimuza, get back to the outfield. Career is done. I got 2 outs. I retired the side, and that was it. I struck a guy out, got a dribbler back to me, and my pitching career was over.
That's a damn good ERA right there.
It is.
Exactly. Because Johnny Wright kept stats in a big binder for all the leagues, and they would bring it to every game. So when the next game rolled around, I literally went and grabbed the binder, opened it up, and I looked at the pitchers, held K, ERA, 0.00. I literally held up the binder in front of Coach Scrimuza and was like, come on.
Like it was Simba.
You also had a 100 fielding percentage, so you're up for Cy Young and Gold Glove.
Yeah.
I just get awards.
That's the peak of your entire life.
All I do is win, no matter what.
I mean, that was it. That was the highlight of my athletic career right there, 12 or 13 years old. After that, right in the shitter.
I like how to you it's Coach Scrimuza.
Coach Scrimuza.
He was the coach.
I know.
So
his kid was on the team?
I can't remember. Scrimuza was in his 60s at the time. If he had a kid on the team, that might be a little dubious.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my dad was like 40-something when I was born.
Speaking of dads, mine just asked in the chat room, is Kevin even there tonight?
I've been telling the greatest story ever told!
It's like the natural.
My moment of triumph!
For 11-year-olds.
It's Rudy.
Does feel a little Rudy-ish.
We got a couple of questions, so you know what that means. It's time to fire up the most divisive thing on this podcast currently.
Yes. Love the open.
So here's the first question. Ram checks 82 in the NFL countdown. Lattimore 76. Andrew, did they get it right?
I mean, I would rank Ramchek ahead of Lattimore right now. So I would say
they got it wrong. They got it wrong.
I mean, Lattimore feels like a top 100 player, but he's going backwards. You know, I would say he was probably top 50 as a rookie. And so 76 probably feels about right, maybe a little high for him. Yeah. I would say, I mean, look, offensive linemen are always going to be criminally low just because they're not skilled players. But I would say Ramchek is probably better than where he's rated.
Let's see. This is a good question. Red pill or blue pill? That's a question from the internet where they ask you, would you rather have the red pill and have all the knowledge that you have now, but you give it to yourself when you're 10, or would you rather the blue pill where you get $50 million right now? Dave, what would you rather have?
I'll take the 50 million.
No, it's 45.
Now.
You jump to 45.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna quabble over $5 million. I will take anything over $40 million right now. Thank you.
I want to be 10. I'll take the knowledge that I have now all the way back when I'm 10. I'll just make the $50 million, Dave, on gambling on fucking Saints games.
Oh, you mean like you get like knowledge about like
everything. You get all your knowledge now when you're 10.
Like, you know who's going to win the horse race and the Super Bowl and stuff?
More knowledge and consciousness in your 10-year-old self.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would take that. I thought you meant, like, just, like, you're more mature and you know how to talk to girls.
No.
I'd
be, like, fucking Biff and Back to the Future, man.
In 10 years.
Why didn't you just say Back to the Future? picture Biff Tannen get the almanac? Why don't you just say that? That's all I need.
Andrew, do you think?
Would you go back in time with the sports almanac so you could just bet on all the sporting events?
Well, you don't have it. It's in your brain. Here's my question, Andrew. Andrew, you're as big a Saints. You have as much knowledge as me. Do you think you could remember Saints winning, losing, over unders for the games if you went back to your 10-year-old self? Do you think you could remember, like, when you're like 14 and you want to gamble on the 1989 Saints? Do you think you could remember all the outcomes to make money?
Like off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Starting from like 1990, 1991, yeah.
I think I could too.
Of course you could, because you're fucking Saints Rain Man.
I don't need to know the spreads. I just need to know who won the games.
Well, yeah, I mean, the spread. I mean,
Gotta watch Wapner.
Well, I just need to know, like, how close the game was and who won, right? Yeah,
This is a good question from Saints Rabbit, Kevin. If you got to choose a moment in Saints history, not the Super Bowl win, that you would experience every day while stuck in Groundhog Day, what would it be?
It'd be the NFC Championship game. That'd be
over the Super Bowl?
No, you can't choose the Super Bowl.
Sorry.
You might as well just eliminate that entire playoff run, because otherwise I would pick the NFC Championship game. I might have cried more after the NFC Championship game than I did.
Yeah, same.
The Super Bowl, I cried, but I was screaming a lot more and just like utter euphoric.
I don't know if any of you guys felt this during the Super Bowl, but I actually felt a little sadness because I was like,
emotion.
I didn't want it to end. Like at the end of the Super Bowl, I was pumped and it was great to see them lift the Lombardi Trophy and everything, but I just remember kind of being a little somber because I was just like,
it's over.
Oh, man. Like, I wanted to keep going. Like, I guess this is it. You know, I don't know. It was such a magical season. So,
what about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah. But I feel like that's the wrong question. You scrap 2009 altogether. I think the real question is, what game means the most to you outside of the 2009 season? And for me it would be Hakeem's drop the ball. I just feel like when the Saints finally
No Gleason block. Wow.
Yeah.
I would still go with 2000 because I just felt in that moment in the stadium like it was my whole childhood. Of my relatives' friends, older people in New Orleans telling me my whole lifetime that the Saints could never amount to anything, they could never win a playoff game, you know, and all the negativity that surrounded that, and then to break through that barrier in that moment was just, I can't even explain it. It was like years of pent-up aggression just released,
no,
you know?
I think my choice is the 2006 playoff game versus the Eagles. Because
the Deuce game,
they won, and I mean people were happy, euphoric after the 2000 first playoff win. They were euphoric on a level that's just ridiculous after the NFC Championship game. But when they beat the Eagles and people were walking out the stadium, there was this joy. But people were looking at each other, and they were literally saying to each other, the Saints are going to play to go to the Super Bowl. I don't believe this is happening. And it was just really cool, and people stayed forever and didn't want to leave. It was just great. And I think if I had to relive a Saints moment over and over again in the Groundhog Day, I think, and I can't pick the Super Bowl, I think that's the one that I would pick.
Speaking of our insane memories, if I can say one thing about that game that to this day kind of pisses me off, the Saints booked Steve Miller Band to play before kickoff, you know, in Champion Square. So Steve Miller Band was like the pregame band, and they played Fly Like an Eagle, and the Saints were playing the Eagles. And I just remember before that game, I'm sitting out there, and I'm like, fucking either book a different band or tell them not to play this song. Like, what the fuck, guys?
Only you as a band promoter and book and band booker and
was
like five
the crowd
other
is horrified as you.
That.
And you know, most Saints fans are like, yeah, great song, Steve Miller Band. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
We do not want to fly like an eagle. No. Like, we're playing the Eagles in the playoffs. Playoffs.
No. All right, so that wraps up the show
really,
tonight.
To this day, that really pisses me off thinking about it.
Yeah. So thanks to everybody in the chat room for joining us. If you're not a Saints Happy Hour patron, become a patron. Get at the $10 level. Get the booze bundle. Get access to everything. It's amazing. And you have player card that you get as a thank you gift. It's a random Saints legend. It could be Stanley Jean-Baptiste, Garrett Grayson, Ricky Jackson. You don't know. That's the fun of it. So thanks to everybody for joining us. For Kevin, for Andrew, for Dave, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed. Take us out, Al.
Guys. Oh, this is cardiac arrest. No good. Hey, brush your teeth.
Seafood City is a very pretty town of running St. Bernard.
Seafood City, 1826.